Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. It is a blessing that we may come together for the second time this day to join in worship of our triune God. A particular welcome to any visitors. May you enjoy fellowship as you worship with us. And may the preaching this afternoon direct our hearts and minds to our Heavenly Father and to our Saviour Jesus Christ. He came down from heaven to earth to be the bread that gives life. Consistory has the following announcements. Consistory as elders and deacons will meet, the Lord willing, on Monday evening at 7:30 p.m. in the consistory room. You are reminded that the wedding of Sister Kira Kramer and Brother Jaden Brolsma will take place, the Lord willing, this coming Saturday, the 5th of December at 1 p.m. at the Free Reformed Church of Darling Downs. And this afternoon, Reverend Poppy will lead the worship service. Before we commence this service, let us sing hymn 38, verse 1 and 3.
Rise and let's worship the Lord. As God's people, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's now sing a song of praise to our God. Let's sing together from Psalm 16, the verses 1 and 3.
You are saved.
Let's now make a profession of our Catholic and undoubted Christian faith. Let's do so this afternoon with the words of the Nicene Creed. Let everyone say with me in his heart, we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, God of God, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father, through whom all things were made, who for us men and our salvation came down from heaven and became incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he arose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who spoke through the prophets. And we believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let's now sing together from hymn 8, verse 1. Father in heaven, we come before you this afternoon and we do so with much gratitude in our hearts. Thank you for being our Father and for adopting us as your children. Thank you for including us in your family and for caring for us so well as your children. Thank you, Father, that you accepted us as children and you work with us. Oftentimes, children are foolish. They need to grow in understanding and they need to grow in maturity. As a good father, you take it upon yourself to teach us and to nurture us, to train us and to discipline us. And we're deeply grateful for that. We pray, Father, that you would help us to live as your children, that we realize what an intimate relationship with you we can have, that we pursue this relationship through faith in Jesus Christ. Your Father in heaven, we pray for the gift of your Holy Spirit, that with the Spirit of Christ, that you draw us to yourself so that we may please you, and that we may live before your face. This afternoon, Lord, we're hoping to open your word, to consider what you've done for us, and to understand how you would have us pray to you. We pray for the blessing of your Holy Spirit, that you would enlighten our minds, and that you open our understanding, so that we're able to realize how you wish us to live with you, and that your word finds a place in our hearts. And Lord, we also pray to you this afternoon that you would please forgive us for the sins we have committed against you. We often offend you in what we say and do. We often don't pursue the relationship with you. And we humble ourselves before you because of that, and we ask for your grace and forgiveness. Dear Lord, please look upon us in mercy for Jesus' sake. We ask it in his name alone. Amen. So this afternoon, brothers and sisters, I have the privilege of bringing God's word to you concerning the fourth petition of the prayer that Christ our Lord taught us. He taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And in connection with that, I'd like to read with you from Luke 11. That's the prayer that Christ taught us, and he also explained a bit of it to us. So we're going to read together Luke 11, the verses 1 to 13. So we're going to read together Luke 11, page 1033. We're going to read the first 13 verses of that chapter. The word of God says, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples.' And he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.' And he said to them, 'Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So far the reading of God's holy word. Let's now sing of the Lord's providential care for us, Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I may preach to you the word of God concerning the fourth petition that Christ our Lord taught us. We'll do so as this has also been summarized for us in Lord's Day 50 of the Heidelberg Catechism. You can find that on page 562. In Lord's Day 50, the question asks, what is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, provide us with all our bodily needs so that we may acknowledge that you are the only fountain of all good, and that our care and labor and also your gifts cannot do us any good without your blessing. Grant, therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it only in you. Then after the proclamation of God's word, we're going to sing together from hymn 65, verses 1 through 4. Dear brothers and sisters, congregation loved by the Lord Jesus, when the disciples saw the intimacy that the Lord Jesus had with his Father, then they decided that's something that they wanted to share in. And so they asked him to teach them to pray. Christ taught them that the most important thing they needed to do is to live with an open heart before the Father. They needed to live before the face of God. They needed to know the Lord. They needed to understand what who he is and what he was doing for them. In real life, if you live before the face of God, if you seek to please him, then that means that you align yourself with his priorities and you seek his kingdom. You also ask him to help you to put away your sinful desires and you do what pleases him. Well, Christ loved his Father, and he made it his goal to please God. Brothers and sisters, if you make that your goal, then you also will have great intimacy in prayer with your Father. And then another way that Christ taught his disciples to draw near to God was to ask him for whatever they needed, and then to also trust him that he would provide for them. The Lord's a good God. He loves to take good care of his people. And so when you look to him in faith, and when you ask him for what you need, and if you trust him that he's going to do for you what he's promised to do for you, then that leads to great intimacy with the Father. It's really interesting. The Lord's purpose in getting us to ask and then giving us what we need, it's not only to provide us with our day-to-day needs. His purpose is also to lead us to faith. It's when you ask and receive that you grow in trust, and you realize that what God has done for you today, he can and he will do for you again tomorrow and next week and next month and next year. And that's really what our Father wishes for us. Our physical needs are actually one of the primary ways in which the Lord leads us to grow in trust in him as a faithful Father. Now, you know, sometimes that's easy for us to do. It's easy to ask and to receive and to learn to trust. But other times, it becomes quite difficult. I just use a real example. You know, earlier this year, we were faced with COVID. I'm not sure if you think back to that often, if you remember what it was like, but at the very beginning, the government instituted these lockdowns, and all of a sudden there were quite a few people who had some stress in their lives. Sometimes it was little things, you know, am I going to get enough toilet paper? Or you run out of certain things at the grocery stores, and you're not sure if you're going to be able to get that thing. But then in the back behind it, you know, you kind of wonder, you know, we had our kids home from school and we wondered how long is that going to go on and how are we going to manage that and how's it all going to go? And then some people were wondering about their jobs, like if this is shut down, what is that going to mean for the building industry? What's that going to mean for some of the other industries and how are we going to manage that? What's that going to do to us? There's a fair bit of uncertainty. We didn't know how things are going to turn out. You talk to some of the businessmen at the time, and all of a sudden, business just dropped off. They had no clue. They had a bunch of hard years leading up to this, especially in the building industry. And then all of a sudden, they're in this situation, and there was nothing. And how are you going to manage that? And how's that going to turn out? Well, it's a situation where our Father invited us to relationship. Do you remember how you responded in those days? How did you manage the uncertainty? Were you overwhelmed? Were you feeling pretty helpless? Were you a bit anxious at times? Maybe I could ask the question, were you able to live before the face of God? Did you trust him to provide for you? What did you try to figure it out by yourself? Did you get all stressed out? Did you maybe respond badly to the stress and to the pressure? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us in his prayer that one of the most important things we need to do to have our life rightly ordered with him is to humbly depend upon him for what we need. Day after day, week after week, month after month, we have to go to him. We have to ask him for what we need. We have to depend that he will look after us. You know, if you do that, brothers and sisters, if in the moment where you're in that space, you don't know how it's going to turn out, and you don't have control of the future, and if that moment you give it over to the Lord and you say, Lord, you are God, and you're my Father, and I know that you love me, and I trust you to look after me. Well, if you're in that place, brothers and sisters, that's the time where you get to have deep peace in your heart. You have deep intimacy with your Father. And that's really what God wants for us. And so as we go through life, he draws us more and more to that place. I preached to you the gospel this afternoon under this theme, Christ teaches us to humbly ask God for our daily needs. We're going to see the need for humble dependence, and secondly, the blessings of humble dependence. So how do you get to the stage where it becomes normal to you that you trust in God and that you rely upon him and that you realize that he's going to do it for you? Well, when Christ taught this prayer to his disciples, then he immediately attached to this teaching this short little parable. And the purpose of the parable is to teach the character of God. He told them this parable about someone who came on a long journey, someone who had a friend who came on a long journey, and he came to this man's house, and the man had absolutely nothing in his pantry. He had nothing to serve him. And in a hospitality culture like the Israelites were in, that was just unacceptable. You can't have someone stay with you and not provide for him and not look after him. And so what does he do? It's midnight, but he goes bangs on his neighbor's door. He bangs down the door and he says, hello, can you wake up? I need some help. Do you have any food? And what does the neighbor do? Well, his gut reaction is, what are you doing? It's midnight. Go to bed. Leave me alone. But that's not what he says. He's in that space, and his neighbor knocks on his door, and because of the man's impudence, because he's so bold, and he says, okay, here you go, here's the loaves, you know, go ahead, I'll help you out. And then the point that Christ makes with his telling this parable is that Luke says, this is the character of God in dealing with his children. The Lord's a good father. And when you come to him, when you look to him, when you rely upon him, then he's someone who is going to look after you. You need to know that. You need to trust that. And he drives it home by telling this next little story. He says, you know, if you think of earthly fathers, if your son comes to you and he needs something, then an earthly father looks after his kids. If your son is in real need and he comes to you and he says, Dad, can you help? Then a dad, he steps up to the plate. And he does whatever it takes in order to help his son. And he provides for his son. Then Christ says, well, if you do that, even though you're sinners, even though you're evil, then how much more will your heavenly Father do that for those who look to him in faith? And so Christ says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Well, do you ask, brothers and sisters? In the moment, is that your gut reaction? To fall on your knees, to plead with your Father, to ask him for whatever you need? You know, to help us with that again, the Lord tells us in his word about how often he helps his people. This is nature. It's his character. Whenever his people come to him, whenever they knock on his door, then he always opens to them, he always hears them, he always listens to them. And the Lord, he showed that to his people right at the very beginning of their history. He shows something of his character. He comes to Moses, and he says, Moses, your job is to lead the people out of Israel, or out of Egypt, to lead them into the promised land. And then he tells them what kind of a land it's going to be. He says, I want you to bring them into this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. You're going to have all the provisions that you could possibly need. And that's indeed what the Lord does. He takes his people, actually even before they get to the land, the first thing he does is that he allows them to plunder the Egyptians. When they're still in the land of Egypt, he tells them, make sure that each woman asks, the woman of the household asks their neighbors for their goods. And the Egyptians, they were so sick and tired of the Israelites, they were willing to do whatever it took to get rid of these people, that they literally gave them all the plunder of the land of Egypt. Here you go, here's all my jewelry, here's all our household possessions, you can have whatever you want, just please leave and go out of our land. And so they had all the plunder of Egypt, they get to the promised land, and they get all that they possibly need, they have this land that's flowing with milk and honey. Well, the problem was, when they first got to the land, they didn't trust the Lord to give it to them. They saw the giants, saw the fortified cities, they came back and they said, don't think it's going to happen. And so the Lord judged them. He said that whole generation had to travel through the desert, and not one of that generation was going to enter into the promised land. But then you see something of the beauty of the Lord, because he also turned it for their good. Those 40 years in the desert, they were a monumental lesson for the Israelites, for the rest of their history, that the Lord is a God who is able to provide. Deuteronomy 8 verse 3, he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. You need to know that the Lord is your God, that he will provide, and he'll look after you. Well, sometimes, brothers and sisters, we think we have it tough. Talk to some of the old timers in our midst. When they first came over, they come to a new land. Some of these people immigrated. When they came here, it was really tough on them. They didn't have much. They had a hard time making ends meet. Everybody had to pitch in. Everybody had to help each other out. There's enough others among us, if you ask your parents or grandparents, there's enough of the parents and grandparents in the building here today who also have stories about some time in their life where it was tough, but they didn't know how they're going to make ends meet. Well, we're nowhere like the Israelites. We weren't in the space where we're in a desert with millions of people, where we need food and water, and we have no idea where those things are going to come from. But also in our lives, there were many of the people who called upon God, and they asked him for help, and they experienced his protection and his care. When Moses looks back at the end of the 40 years, he summarizes it this way in Deuteronomy 2 verse 7. He says, these 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You lacked nothing. Well, isn't that something we can say as well, brothers and sisters? Over the course of my life, the Lord has been with me, and I have lacked nothing. It's who God is. It's what he does for his people. When you read through the scriptures, that's the foundational message. The Lord is a providential God. He loves you, and he cares for you. Could refer to so many passages. I'll just pick a couple here, brothers and sisters. Psalm 145:15. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Or Matthew 5, we're called to love our enemies and to do good to those who persecute us. And the reason, we're told, is because that's who God is. So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. The Lord is good to all. He has mercy over all he has made. Psalm 145, verse 9. Our Father is a good God who looks after his people. Well, do you understand the background to the petition that Christ our Lord teaches us here, brothers and sisters? He says you need to pray to God. You need to rely upon him. You need to do that in the awareness that he is a faithful God, But he does love you, and he will look after you. You know the problem? The problem is not with God. The problem is with us. Even though the Lord is a really good father, we often find it hard to turn to him and to rely upon him for help. In real life, if you really need something, what's your gut reaction? What's your first instinct? If you need something, you need to figure it out. You need to do whatever it takes. You need to make a plan. You need to talk to someone. You need the help of a friend. But you are going to figure this out, and you're going to make sure that it goes good for you in the future. Instinctively, we're confident in our own abilities. That's the way we try to do it, in our own strength. And oftentimes the reason for that is because at root we're proud people. We think that we have what it takes to look after ourselves. That's what the Lord had to warn the Israelites against. Right at the very beginning, he brings them into the promised land. And when he first brings them into the promised land, he says, not only do you have the wealth of Egypt, and not only do you have this land that's flowing with milk and honey, he says, you're going to have everything you could possibly need. I'm going to give you houses that you didn't build and vineyards that you didn't plant. I'm going to give you these fields. I'm going to give you these trees. I'm going to give you everything that you could want. Your silver and gold is going to be multiplied. Your herds and flocks are going to be multiplied. You're going to be wealthy. You're going to be at peace and at rest. And then what does he warn them? He says, Deuteronomy 8, verse 11, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will be lifted up and you will forget the Lord your God. This is a similar thing in verse 17 of that chapter. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. Well, how often hasn't it happened, brothers and sisters? You know, everyone wants to be a multimillionaire. Real life, how many of us could honestly handle it? Could you do it? How many wealthy people do you know who are poor in spirit? Who are beggars before the throne of grace? Who live in humble dependence upon the Lord for everything that they have? In a real life, if you want to carry the analogy forward, here in WA, we have been one of the jurisdictions in the world that's been most blessed with regards to this COVID-19. Now, we had the initial lockdown, but that was over pretty soon. Things started opening up. We didn't have any community infection. We haven't had any second waves or third waves. You know, we can come and go as we please, and we can pretty much live life however we want, except for all worshiping here on Sunday. Well, it's in that context that, you know, all of a sudden the government gives all this money to help all these people, and so there's all this money around. And so our state posts a surplus on the annual budget. You know, you talk to the builders, they're at a place where it's gone from bust to boom. Some of them say it's never been as crazy as it is today. You try to find an employee to help in your business, and there's not enough people to do the work. The foundational question becomes, how are you handling it, brothers and sisters? Are you able to respond in faith? You know, when you're struggling, it's possible that you're down on your knees in prayer, that you depended upon God, you looked to him and you relied upon him, and you had nowhere else to turn, so you turned to him. Well, now that there's a surplus, are you just as earnest in your prayers? Or maybe have you slipped back into the thinking that you can do life on your own? Do you know how pride is expressed? It's not just in self-sufficiency. It's also often expressed in anxiety. The reason people become anxious is many times because they don't know how they're going to work things out. They're uncertain about the future. And if you think that you have control of things, and if you think that you need to work it out by yourself, but you don't have the power to affect the change and to work things out, then the result is often pure tension. You're in this very tense state. You're very anxious and stressed out because you kind of put yourself in the position of God, but you don't have the power of God. You expect to work things out by yourself, but you don't have the wisdom and the ability to make things work out for yourself. And so there's great anxiety that you find yourself in. Well, if you think about that, it's a stark contrast to the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you read through the Gospels, do you ever get a sense of Jesus Christ being stressed out? Is he ever anxious? You never have that sense. That's because he had this vital connection with his Father. When things happened, then he turned to his Father and he relied upon his Father. In every situation, he was looking to his Father for help. He would slip off for large periods of time and he would pray to his Father and have communion with his Father. He lived before the face of God. And so when things happened to him, then his natural reaction was to go to God and to bring his requests before his Father in heaven. Well, if you're in that place, then you don't get weighed down in the same way by the burdens of life. The result instead is that you have peace in your heart. You know, that was one of the things that attracted so many people to him. He encouraged his people to draw near to him. It's in Matthew 11:28. He told them, he said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." What an incredible offer for us to receive, brothers and sisters. Come to me, and you'll find rest for your soul. Christ says he's gentle. He's lowly in heart. He's someone who's humble, and he invites you to share that humility. He'll teach you that the way to deal with the chaos in life is not to try to get rid of the chaos, but to pray in the midst of the chaos, to give it over to your Father, and to trust him to look out for you. If you're in that space, then the stresses, the needs of life, they don't steal your joy, but they bring you to your knees. And as you are on your knees, you find that God provides you with whatever you need in that moment. The Apostle Paul spells it out for us in Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Present your request to him, and you will experience his peace. Well, real life, it's often quite a journey, brothers and sisters. We learn it in one context. We start out all stressed out. We learn to give it over to the Lord. We find the peace in Christ, and we're okay. But next week, or next month, or next year, we're in a similar situation, or a little different situation, we have to learn it all over again. It's something that God uses to teach us, and to lead us to him. It's when we're helpless, when we're overwhelmed, when we're weary, that we need to pray. So don't be allergic to those moments, but rather embrace them. If ever you're anxious, just think about the things in your mind right now, the things that cause you some stress or some anxiety. And those are invitations to pray. Your Father's inviting you to relationship. He says, take those things to me and rely upon me, and I will be your God, and I will help you, and I will look after you in that situation. If you carry on in that way, brothers and sisters, then you realize the truth of the loving care of your Father in heaven. And then it's going to happen tomorrow. You're going to have these little stressors in life. You're going to leave your phone behind. You're going to have a slight from your friend. Or you're going to have a deadline that you have to meet. And if you learn this life of humble dependence, then these things, they're invitations to prayer. They're invitations to relationship. They're times where the Lord, he's calling you to him. And he gives you these opportunities to rely upon him and depend upon him and to look to him. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. You know, if you live in that way, then one of the greatest blessings that you receive is the gift of contentment. When our Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, he didn't have material possessions. He didn't own a house. He didn't have all sorts of stuff. He lived day by day, and he trusted his Father to provide for him. Bit of a unique situation. He didn't have a family either. It's really beautiful when you read through the scriptures. You kind of wonder sometimes, like, how did it actually go for him? And how did that really turn out for him? Well, the Bible tells us, after a busy day of teaching in Jerusalem, then he went out to Bethany, to his friend's place, to Lazarus and Mary and Martha's place. And he spent his evening there together with the disciples. They looked after him. They provided for him. But the Bible tells us another time that his disciples are traveling around, and with them were the women. You had Mary Magdalene, you had Johanna, you had Mother Susa, and the other Mary. And it says that some of these provided for the disciples out of their own means. And so Jesus Christ helped some of these women. He cast the 7 demons out of Mary. And it was her greatest joy to use the money that she had been given in order to support and to assist the disciples so that they'd have what they need and they could do their work. Well, that's the way it works in the kingdom of heaven. The Lord provides for his people. He looks after us. He calls us to be faithful and diligent in our task. But behind that, he promises us that he is our God. And he will help us. And he will provide for us. Well, it says you... as you open your heart to God in prayer, as you trust him to provide for you, then you can be really secure in the love that he has for you. Then you can put to death your greed and covetousness. You don't have to live for more. You don't always have to want. You don't always have to try to get more for yourself. Because you're secure in your Father, and you trust him in his love for you. The Apostle Paul talks about what a stunning life it is. Philippians 4, verse 11. I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abide, how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Well, it's your Father's joy to give you contentment, to give you strength. As you look to him, as you rely upon him, he will bless you in that. You know, one of the other really great blessings that comes when you have this kind of intimacy with God is that it also frees you up in your relationships with other people. If you are secure in the knowledge of God's care for you, if you live before God's face, and if you trust him to provide for you, and if you live in love with him, then you know he's going to look after you. And that means that it frees you up to not needing other people to look after you and not needing other people to depend on them for everything and not taking advantage of other people because you need their help or you need their assistance. Instead, if you rely upon your Father, the attitude you can have to the people around you is that you can serve them, that you can love them, and you can be a blessing to them. The Apostle Paul, he spells it out in 2 Corinthians 9. He calls us first to be a cheerful giver. He says, be generous in giving and be cheerful in doing so. And then he says, what's going to happen? He says, if you do that, he says, you can be sure that your Father will look after you. So in the next verse is right after that. Verse 8, he continues, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all contentment in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for all your generosity. As you live a life of service before others, God says, I'll provide for you. And I'll give you whatever you need to be able to continue to serve and to love the people whom I put before you. Well, what a rich life that God calls us to, brothers and sisters. It takes great faith. You have to trust Him to be your God. You have to rely upon Him to do what He's promised for you. But really, it takes the work of our Lord Jesus in our hearts. It's not who we are by nature. But these are the kinds of people whom Christ can make us. He who taught us to pray also enables us with His Spirit. So let's look to Him in faith. And through His power, let's live in this kind of intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. Amen. Let's sing together from hymn 65, verses 1 through 4. Thanksgiving and prayer. In our prayer this afternoon, we'll also remember our brother Wally Ten Haaf. Our brother Ten Haaf has been in the Armidale Hospital for the last couple of weeks. He is in the mental health unit. He's also receiving electric shock therapy. It's been a difficult time for him, and so they're trying to help him in this way. So we'll also pray for a blessing over that, that the Lord would grant him His peace in his life. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, We thank you that you are a good father. Day after day, you look after us. Lord, when we consider our lives, then we're richly blessed by you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love and care for us. Thank you that you give us what we need, that we never go hungry, that we have food and drink, that you provide for us, that you give us a home to live in, give us clothes on our backs, you give us so many other luxuries besides that. Thank you for the wealth that we get to enjoy. Thank you for the time period in which we live. Thank you for the incredible gifts and blessings that we get to experience in our lives. We acknowledge, Lord, that these are good gifts out of your hand. You're a faithful Father, and you love us. You look after us. At the same time, Lord, you also warn us in your word that when we receive many blessings, then we ought not to get proud. We ought to live before you in humble dependence. And we ask you, Lord, to please help us in that. By nature, we're very proud people. We want to do it by ourselves. And we think we have it in control. That's why we often get stressed out. We get anxious when things don't work out. Because we think that we need to do it. We can't seem to make it happen. Instead of that, Lord, please give us humility. Help us to be poor in heart. Make us beggars. Grant that as we humble ourselves before you, as we look to you for help and for grace, that you would open your hands to us, that you show us that you're a good father. And as we experience your care day after day, Lord, we pray that we may thank you for that. And deep in our hearts, we are filled with gratitude and joy because of your good gifts. Give us the ability to see it, and then help us to express that to you, that we tell you honestly about the deep gratitude that we have for the good gifts that you've given. Grant that we never take it for granted, but rather that we recognize it and we acknowledge it. And then, Lord, we also pray that you would please give us your peace, give us your contentment in our hearts. The greatest thing is to be at peace. It doesn't mean that you take us out of the chaos, but it means that we're secure in your love in the midst of the chaos. Father, help us in that with your Holy Spirit for Jesus' sake. If needed, Lord, we pray that you would also discipline us. You did it for your people long ago. You taught them in powerful ways that you are a faithful God, that you do love them, and that you will help them. And if we need that, Lord, then we pray that you also do that to us, that we may live in intimacy and in fellowship before you. Give us the wisdom, Lord, that we need, so that we seek your face and that we rely upon your grace. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that you also work that out in our lives. There's so many among us who struggle with health concerns. It's a megaphone that you use to draw us to you. Thank you, Lord, that so often that we as your people respond in faith before you, that we draw near to you in the midst of the concerns, the health concerns that we have, that we ask you for healing, if it is your will. And we also pray that you give us acceptance and that you give us peace in the midst of it. And it's wonderful to see you do that for us. So many times there's other concerns that we have, Lord. We have concerns in our relationships with one another. We have concerns for family members who've left the faith. You have concerns for children in the decisions that we're taking. You have concerns for brothers and sisters in the way that they're living. But grant that we're able to bring these things to you, that we trust that you will work things out for your people, that as we have opportunity, that we may be a blessing for others. Help us to be generous also, Lord, in what you or in how we treat others. As you have been generous to us, may we show the same spirit in our dealings with others. Grant that in this way, that the needs of your people may be met, and that your name may receive much glory through us. Dear Father in heaven, we also pray that you would please continue to work this spirit in us so that we are ready for the day of our Lord Jesus Christ to return. Grant that we may grow in spiritual maturity, that we're ready for the day when you call us home. Thank you, Lord, that many times as we get older, that we experience in deeper measure something of the peace of Christ, and that we understand your power and our own inability. It's often near the very end that you strip away all our independence, that you make us completely dependent upon you and upon other people. Lord, we're grateful that you have our life in your hands, and that you use all things in order to grant us your blessing. Please Give us eyes to see it and help us to rely upon you in faith. We pray then also this afternoon for our brother Wally Tenhoff. We ask, Lord, for a blessing over the work of the doctors. Our brother has experienced so much distress in his heart. We ask, Lord, that you give him relief, that you give him the peace of Christ. He has snippets of it from time to time where he is at rest and where it goes well for him. But then other times he falls back into his old way of thinking. Thank you for being a father to him. Thank you for caring for him. We ask also now that you continue to do so, that you bless the work of the doctors. Dear Lord in heaven, please also be with his family, be with Leonie, and be with the children. And please comfort them and care for them and grant them all that they need in this time as well. Lord, we ask that you also bless us as we go forward as a communion of the saints. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to assist each other. We heard this morning about the work of the deacons. Deacons are to encourage us to love one another, to have unity with each other. Pray, Lord, also in financial matters and in other ways, that we use the opportunities we have to love one another from the heart. And sometimes we fail in that. We're sorry to you for the ways in which we fail, and we ask for your grace and forgiveness for that. And we pray, Lord, that we may, that you would stir us up to do that more and more, that we show hospitality and kindness and love to one another, that you bind us together in love and unity. Dear Father, we also pray that you would please bless our missionaries. Think of Reverend DeYoung and their family. We want to ask, Lord, that you please bless them as they finish off school for another year, as they also prepare to leave for Canada in December. And please be especially with our sister Ruth. Please be a father to her, and please bless her in her pregnancy and grant that may go well for her. Thank you for your constant care over their family, and please be near to them and give them everything that they need. And we also bring the Vandekamp family before you as well. We're grateful that they can settle into Lay. Thankful, Lord, for the fact that they have their stuff there now. Also grateful that things are going better for Graham, that he's feeling much better. Also pray, Lord, that you give them wisdom, that they may settle into their new culture, and that they can build beautiful relationships with other people, that they're able to use the gifts that you've given them to be a help and a blessing for many others, that it would go well for them. And we ask these things, Lord, so that your word may go out, that other people may hear the message of the gospel, that they may turn to you in faith. Please also help us within our own community, that we may speak a word of hope to others, not only speaking, but others may see the love of Jesus Christ in our actions, and that they may look to you in faith and seek your grace and your blessing in their lives. Lord, thank you for giving us the opportunity to support the mission work, and we pray for your blessing over our collections. Please be near to us in the rest of this week. Give us everything that we need for a faithful week of service before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, you do indeed have the opportunity to give your thank offerings. Once again, the collection this afternoon is going to be for the mission work in PNG. And at this time, I invite you to rise. So we're going to sing together from Psalm 145, verses 1 and 5.
Thank you.
Receive now the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.